I am an associate pastor here to primarily students and families. And Pastor Billy and I are going to start probably doing a little bit more tag teaming off and on. And wanted to share with you kind of the wrap-up session of the Steps to Commitment. We've had our table, and every week we've talked about what it means to come to the table, and every chair has a different meaning of the person who does not have a relationship with Christ, and the one who is a new believer, and the one that is the mature believer. And we've talked about what it means to have a relationship with Christ. How do you discover your giftedness? Hopefully you know your spiritual gift, or you're in that process to discover it, and that you're on this new journey, these new things that are all pieces of what happens in this spiritual life and this spiritual journey. So hopefully you've had pieces of that. If you missed anything, it's on the website. You can catch those and catch up. And we're going to kind of put a bow on that today with a very specific and intentional piece. I was on Twitter this week, and I found a tweet from Ed Stetzer that said this. It's really simple, but it was very profound to me. It said, "Today, too many churches are full of people who act arrived rather than live sent." Think about that for a minute. Today, too many churches are full of people who act arrive rather than live sent. I pray that that is not our church here, God's church at Santan Heights. I just hope this is not it. And so everything is about movement. Everything is about moving from one area to the next. If you come on Sunday morning and you sit in the same chair and nothing else changes through your life, you become stagnant. And stagnant water, not anything you really want, will grow in it. It's a process of movement. It's the process of movement as a church. It's the process of movement as individuals. And so hopefully you're understanding this process of movement specific with you. So this morning I very quickly want to look at three P's. Pray, pursue, and persuade. And each chair, there's a process of movement. You're moving people from just inviting them to the table into a relationship with Christ. You're moving people from a relationship with Christ to growth in maturity. And so it's all about movement. And these three P's actually will fit all areas of movement. Primarily this morning, though, we're going to talk about the chair that is the person that's the unbeliever that you've invited to the table and how you move them from this chair to this chair, to a new believer, to somebody who now is a follower of Christ. I'll pause very quickly. We're going to send a kind of a checkoff sheet. If your name's on here, if you just put a check by it so we can know that you're here this morning, that's important to us. If your name's not on here, just put it on the back somewhere. We're glad you're here. You've had some other handouts. I'll talk about those in a minute. But while I was thinking about it. So we're going to focus on the step from this one to this one. If you look at your handout on the back side, there is a diagram. It looks kind of like this. It says deep and wide. I'm a very visual learner. In fact, if you study the Old Testament, the Hebrews and the people in the Old Testament, they saw everything in pictures. And I'm a very pictorial person. So when I see something on paper that's in picture form, I understand it better. So we put this together. This is really a strategy and a piece of who Santan Heights Church is. We're going deep. We're studying the Word. We're moving people from a new believer to a mature believer. But we're also going wide. And we're intentional about going wide with the gospel and taking that out. And so hopefully if you're a visual learner, this will just be an aid and a help to you. This is kind of who we are, and this is where we're going and what we're looking for, to be this Great Commission obsessed church through what we in the student ministry call the X factor and where that X is. So hopefully that's just a little help for visual. Very, very quickly, I want to show you a quick clip from one of my favorite movies, Elf, and then we'll talk about that in just a minute. Go ahead, Carrie.
Why are you smiling?
I just like to smile. Smile is my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
Time for an announcement.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Ooh. Hi.
Now, how many times, I love that clip, but how many times are we that way with Jesus? I know Him. I know Him. We're willing to tell people, I know Him. He's coming. We don't get that excited. Buddy the Elf understood this. He was excited that Santa was going to be here. He was coming to the store. And he was wanting to tell people about that. First person that walked up, he told them. But are we that excited about Jesus? I was burdened this week when I thought about this. We get excited about so many things, but telling people about Jesus? It's just one of those things. Well, let's look at the first step. The first step is pray. That sounds pretty easy, right? Let's look at Romans 10:1. Again, this morning, I think everything needs to point back to Scripture. We're going to look at a good passage at the end. Romans 10:1, if you don't have it, you can just listen. It says this. This is Paul says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." This word prayer here, this is Paul begging God for the Israelites to be saved. I love this verse. When was the last time that you begged God for one of your friends who didn't have a relationship with Jesus? I didn't really expect an answer, but that's fine. I didn't get one. Think, when was the last time that you begged God, that you were on your knees, maybe even to the point of tears, for somebody who didn't have a relationship with Christ? Samuel Chadwick said this. He said, "One concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." There was a study done just a few years ago of the most effective evangelist in the United States. And without hesitation, in every area in this study, the most effective evangelists in the U.S. were the people who prayed for their friends and their co-workers and their family members daily. They were the most effective people. Prayer has to be that paramount piece, the top. I mean, there's just nothing else to it. It has to be there. Consistent prayer creates consistent opportunity. How many opportunities have we missed? Can you remember a time that you missed an important phone call? Or maybe somebody was knocking at the door and you missed it because you were busy doing something else, you just weren't paying attention? Sometimes we get busy doing good things. We get busy doing good stuff, but we miss the opportunities because we're not in a state of prayer. And God says, nope, I want you to be in prayer, praying for somebody. In many ways, Jesus is trying to make contact with us all the time, and we answer Him by being in that state of prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing, or pray continuously. Now, does that mean that we're always going around with our eyes closed? I couldn't teach algebra class very much if my eyes were closed all the time, every week. I couldn't drive down the road. I couldn't do a lot of things. That's not what that means. That means you're always in an attitude, in a state of prayer. Not that we walk around with our eyes closed, but we're always in tune with God's presence and His direction for when He gives us opportunities. We can do this anywhere. And as we do this, God's going to give us a heart for those who aren't followers of Him. And we'll begin to see people as Jesus sees them. Very quickly, I want to read with you a passage in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. This is familiar probably to a lot of you. If you don't have it, you can just listen. Jesus went, starting in verse 35 of Matthew 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest." Ask. There's that word prayer again. "Therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Jesus had compassion. When he saw them, he had compassion. When we do this, God's going to give us a heart for those who are not followers of Christ. And we're going to begin to see people as Jesus sees them. So here's the next part. You have pray. The next is pursue. Pursue. How do you do this? You simply bring God up. It's that easy. Bring God up. Pursue friendships on a deeper spiritual level. Now, there are different ways to do this. You can do this through questions. You can ask people about their spiritual beliefs. You know, oh, you're a Hindu. I understand. Okay, you're listening to what they believe. Now, don't listen to someone, hear me clearly on this, and then go, "Dude, you're so wrong." Just don't do that. You're going to hell. I mean, that's not good. That's not a good time or peace to do that. Once you listen, and listen carefully, then you can clearly explain to them what Scripture says because you know where they're coming from. But you have to listen sometimes first. So you're pursuing them. You're bringing God up. You're getting into a conversation with that person. I believe most conversations with people have what I call the fork in the road. Almost every conversation is going to have a fork in the road. Are you going to take this and continue just to talk about the weather or talk about whatever's going on? Or are you going to take this to a spiritual turn? And it's a choice. You make that choice in the conversation whether you're going to take that fork in the road. And so many times, you know, this can be over cultural things, about movies and music. I had a conversation this past week about what happened in Fort Hood and that whole incident. And it got to the point in the conversation and I mentally went, oh, there's the fork in the road. What am I going to do with this? Okay, let's go over here. And we brought that around to spiritual things. And so there's always that fork in the road and the things that you have in common. Now, so many times we wait for non-Christians, our friends, to come to us and say, oh, there's something different about your life. What must I do to be like you? Right? Don't we wait on that? How many times is that going to happen? Let's think about that. Not often. Okay? That's just not going to happen often. You can bring God up anytime. Talk to the barista at Starbucks, at work, at Walmart, at school, online. There's so many opportunities that you can bring God up to just pursue them on a deeper spiritual level. I'll give you an example. This week, as I was at the high school next door here, I had some students after class that were asking me, two seniors, one of them's a Mormon, and they asked me point blank, said, what does a pastor do? And I thought, okay, this could be a real simple answer. And I shared with him a little bit about, you know, teaching and counseling and, you know, organizing some things and just kind of shared a little bit about what a pastor did. And then they continued to ask questions. And I knew, okay, here's my fork in the road. I'm either going to take this conversation and just leave it as is, or I'm going to ask them specifically. And as I began to listen about, particularly about the one that was a Mormon, she began to just share how everything to her was about religion. And everything to her was about a set of rules. You do this and you don't do this. And she was just frustrated with that. And she said, I go to church 3 times a week. I don't need any more religion. And I said, I understand, but you're missing the point that it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And I was able to, in the halls of Queen Creek High School, present the gospel very clearly to these two students and helping them understand that religion, by definition, is man's attempt to bind back to God. Man's attempt. Now, when I look at Scripture, I know that we can't do it on our own, right? It's not man's attempt, it's through God. And so I was able to explain the difference to her because I took that fork in the road, the difference between a relationship with God and a religion. But pursuing takes both physical and spiritual boldness, and we're going to see that through Philip in just a minute. Can you remember a time when you did something you consider brave or you witnessed somebody else do something you considered brave? I think back to my childhood, and I went to a lot of rodeos. I haven't been to a rodeo in a while, but rodeo clowns. Those were my heroes growing up. Really. If you've ever been to a rodeo, you know what I'm saying? Those guys, I just thought, okay, they allow the rider to get out of the way. They're putting themselves, maybe in a barrel or just running around crazy, but they're putting themselves in front of that bull on purpose. I went, these guys are crazy. I had an uncle who was a rodeo clown, and I just said, man, these guys are crazy. They were my heroes because they were willing to take this boldness physically. And sometimes we have to do that boldness both physically and spiritually. It may be going across the cafeteria at school or across the office to another coworker. You have to physically do something that takes boldness. And then it takes the spiritual boldness to step out and share with people. And sometimes Satan allows us to think that bringing God up isn't a good idea because it may offend people. I've heard this time and time again. Pastor Billy, you hear this all the time? The problem with this way of thinking is that the right opportunity never seems to happen. And our friends miss an opportunity to hear the most important thing in the universe, what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. And so the key is to pray every day for opportunity and then trust God to put you in a situation where you can take a fork in the road. Sounds pretty simple. So if you're praying and you're pursuing, you're bringing God up, then the last one is persuading. You're persuading them to go deeper on a spiritual level. And here's what this looks like. On your sheet, you'll see A, B, C, D. That's as easy as I know how to make it. A is this. You're persuading them to attend. To attend the group. Maybe that's church. Maybe that's worship on Sunday mornings. Maybe that's a small group that meets in your home or in a restaurant. Maybe that's another type of group that meets, but you're inviting them. There is something about the body of Christ when it comes together, it has this supernatural power that kind of freaks people out. And they see all these people worshiping God, and the Word of God is it comes out, and its power, and it speaks to them, and it convicts them of their need of something, which is Christ. There's just something supernatural about it. I can't explain it. I don't know, but I know it happens. So you're inviting them to attend. Then you're inviting them to believe. Be able to explain the gospel, to believe and put their trust in Christ. I share it very simply that God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins can't be removed by good deeds. You can't get there on your own. But paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. And everybody who puts their faith and trust in Him and Him alone has eternal life. And life that's eternal means we'll be with Him forever here and have a full and abundant life that He wants us to have here on earth. Real simple, you need to be able to present the gospel. If you do not, hopefully in the days ahead, we have some opportunities to train you. I know this is something that Dan is very passionate about, is training and equipping people how to share your faith. You need to know how to do that. Because if you're persuading them to believe, this is moving them from this chair to this chair. They're not just at the table anymore. You're actually inviting them to eat. And you're moving them over to this chair, the new believer chair. Now, the frustration sometimes to me is that I hear so many people that may share the gospel and they do it very well, and then they never give the person an opportunity to respond. Let me tell you what this is in my mind related to our table illustration. You're inviting somebody to the table. Everything looks nice. You're inviting them to smell it. You're inviting them to look at it. You're inviting them we're going to talk about connect in a minute with the other people at the table, but you don't allow them to eat it. What's the point of that? What is the point of bringing people to the table, having everything set and ready, but you're never giving them an opportunity to actually put their faith and trust in Christ? We have to be bold in that. So attend, believe, and the next is connect. Connect to a tribe, or what we call in the student ministry, a friendship cluster. Okay? This is, some people call these cliques, but these are people that you naturally are drawn to. You naturally have an affinity with in some capacity to connect. And you naturally gravitate toward people that are like you. And you naturally get along with those people. If somebody walks in the door of our service this morning and they don't know anybody, the likelihood statistically of them coming back is very high. However, if they can connect with one person, just one person that's like them and really have a connection, they're more likely to get more plugged in and more connected. So it's important to connect with these friendship clusters and these tribes. They'll feel totally connected. They'll have this sense of belonging. Have you ever walked into a room full of people that you don't know? Three people. The rest of you need to get out more. Okay, do you feel kind of naked when you do that? It's like, really? You feel exposed? Because you don't have any security of anybody anywhere. You're walking in, you know no one. Put yourself in the place when you're walking into a church for the first time. Or a small group for the first time. You're exposed. You're looking for somebody that's some security that you can connect with. So let me ask you, are you connecting with people? As people walk in the door here, are you connecting with them? Or are you just leaving them exposed? To connect, give them a sense of belonging, somebody they can connect with. So attend, believe, connect, and then develop. Once they put their faith and trust in Christ, they're developing spiritually. Who is God? What is the Bible? What is prayer? What are the basics of faith? Bring them to the steps of commitment that we're going to launch again in January. This is the process of moving them from one chair to the next chair to the next chair. It's that process of movement because it has to be a movement consistently. So you're inviting them to do that. Not just, hey, we're going to say a prayer and we're going to dunk you in some water up here and I hope you have a good life. Good luck. You're going to heaven now. I've been a part of churches that's how they do, that's their discipleship. Oh, we baptized them. No, that's just a start. Here's the struggle that a whole lot of people face, okay? And my heart really goes out with this. You're willing to share the gospel. You're willing to take them on that journey. Then as soon as they make a commitment to a local body of believers, you run. Now hear me on this. You're not willing to walk with them in the journey, to take those same steps along the process, to say, hey, I'm going to walk with you. Let's read the book of John together. Let's talk about what this looks like. What does it mean to have a relationship? What is prayer? How do you share that with other people? You're walking with them. That's the develop spiritually part. It's not just Pastor Billy's role. It's not just my role. It's each and every one of us to walk alongside these people to train them. And then the last one is evangelize. You're telling them to pray, pursue, and persuade. You're teaching them how to share the gospel and to come back to these same steps. Now, by the way, these first three, A, B, and C, we call alphabet soup. Anybody know why? They can switch orders. You can mix them all around. They may put their faith in Christ and then connect to a group and then attend. Or they may connect first and then attend and then believe. They may switch orders a little bit with A, B, and C. But at least all of these pieces, you have to pursue them with each of these. So if every believer in Queen Creek, think about this, would take seriously what this idea of praying, pursuing, and persuading, what would happen? Every person at Santan Heights Church, soon to be Heart Cry Church, would pray for at least one friend and pursue that friend on a deeper spiritual level, bringing God up in conversation, and then persuade that friend to attend, believe, connect, develop, and evangelize. What would happen to our community? It would be transformed. It would. It would be a radically, totally different place if we get serious about this. Know that persuading is possible. Can you remember a time when you changed your mind about something, or you allowed somebody else to persuade you to do something? I can remember just recently I was hiking at Pinnacle Peak, Picacho Peak with a friend of mine. And we had gotten up to, if you've ever hiked Picacho Peak, it goes up and then there's kind of a ridge across the middle and then you go around the back side and finish the other half. Well, we got a late start. In addition, the road was closed, so it took us like 2 extra hours to get there because we had to go way around the back way. And it was already really hot. And so we got up to the ridge and we ate lunch. And my buddy said to me, he said, hey, we probably need to think about going down. And of course, I like, when I start something, I want to finish it. And I went, no, let's go. And he said, no, I really think we need to consider this. You know, we're both out of shape. And thanks for bringing that up. But you know, we probably need to head down. Well, I let him talk me into that. And we did. We headed down. And I learned later that there was an accident on the backside, or some people had had some heat exhaustion and some people had gotten hurt and all these things because they went ahead in a time that they shouldn't have been and they were hiking up that steep top part of Picacho Peak. I allowed him to persuade me and I was very thankful. So your friend, you may have some opposition up front and that's okay. But in the long term, you got to look at this from eternity perspective and what that looks like. I want to very quickly look at a passage of Scripture. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 8. Again, I'm a visual learner, so let's look at this visually. I need 3 volunteers. No, really, I need 3 volunteers. I'm going to pick you if you don't volunteer. All right, Trey's already volunteered. He's already up here. Brandon, why don't you come up and help? I need a female. Okay, Q, never mind. You're in the back. We'll get these 3 guys. No adults, I guess, want to help. All right, I want to read this. And I want you guys just to give us a visual picture of what this might look like, okay?
I understand.
You understand? Let's give you a couple chairs. Put those side by side. This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay? Now, Brandon, you're going to be an angel. Okay? Q, you're going to be Philip. All right? And Trey, you're the eunuch. We'll talk about what a eunuch means later. Some of you got that, some of you did not. All right. No, that's fine. All right. So I'm going to read this. You guys pretty much just acted out. So Philip and the angel, you need to go over there to the side somewhere. Eunuch, you can have a seat in the chariot. Here we go. Starting in verse 26 of chapter 8 in Acts. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, to the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Are you telling him, angel? Okay, good. So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Simmer down, we're getting there. Now this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you're reading? I don't think he startled him, Q, but that's pretty good. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Unless somebody explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the eunuch was reading this passage. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before the shearer is silent. So do not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Jesus loves you. That's what he said, if you didn't hear it. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. The eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. This ought to be good. Okay, beautiful. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to others as he was traveling to other towns in Caesarea. So, thank you guys. You can give them a hand. So here's what I want you to see about this. This is good stuff. Thanks, Q. You can leave that one. It's good. Philip is an example of someone who knew how to go wide with the gospel. He was constantly aware of God's presence and leading, probably in this attitude of prayer we talked about, which is why the Holy Spirit led him to contact this important person. He was already in a state of, okay, I'm going to be obedient. Same is true for us. That's why prayer is so foundational as a piece of this go wide strategy. Satan trembles when we pray because constant prayer creates opportunities for Christ. All right? So God does not need our ability, but our availability. Let's see what happened with Philip. God led him into a situation that turned into a conversation with a potential fork in the road. Think back to the story. Philip courageously pursued him and brought God up. Notice the steps he took. He pursued him physically first. The Bible said he ran up to the chariot. He physically went there. And then he pursued them spiritually. Philip heard what he was reading and he asked him, do you understand? That was the fork in the road. The same is true for us when we're faithful and we pray. God presents us with opportunities. We need to be bold physically and bold spiritually to bring God up on the spiritual level where our friends are. Practicing how to do that are going to give us these potential opportunities. Philip was constantly aware of how God was leading through prayer. He pursued the Ethiopian eunuch on a deeper spiritual level. The man put his faith and trust in Christ, and it says he went away rejoicing. He had had the wrong beliefs, but because Philip was willing to go wide and share this with him, he's now in heaven, probably hanging out with Philip. I don't know. So, great example. And can you imagine the same thing happening with us? If we're willing to pray, pursue, and persuade. We're going to come back together and kind of wrap this up in a second. But I want you to break into your groups like you've done the past few weeks. Maybe you need to form a new group. Groups of probably 8 to 10 would be good. I wouldn't encourage too much over about 12. Then it doesn't really become a small group anymore. But break into your groups, and I will lead you. Why don't you take the first and take it one by one, and it's on your handouts. The first thing is I want you to explain the difference between persuading someone and cramming something down someone's throat. There is a difference. We're not trying to twist anybody's arm. As we pray, then we are pursuing. We're bringing God up in conversation. What's the difference between that and bringing God up and cramming it down somebody's throat? So take about 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes. Just discuss that in your group real quick, and then I'll come back on and lead you to the next thing. We are just lifting people to you who do not have a relationship with you. We are asking, just as Paul asked, we are begging you, Father, to move and to work in their life in such a way that they can see you, that they know that you are real, that you care about them, and that the only way into a life of fullness and abundance is through you, through Jesus. And we are asking in Jesus' name, Father, that you would do something only you can do in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our co-workers, our family members. God, even as we are just lifting these up together in our hearts right now, that you would begin moving and working. God, I ask that each person that's here, that this week, you will give them an opportunity to take a conversation and pursue you on a deeper spiritual level and to take that fork in the road to where they can bring you up. And God, that you would just encourage them to be bold, both physically and spiritually, that you would keep all of us, Father, as a family together, committed in prayer and committed to interceding on behalf of our friends who don't know you, who are not followers of you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus, and just thank you again for the privilege we have to pray and to be connected with people who don't know you. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.